Well, very good to see everyone tonight. Last Wednesday night, some of you were at the Wilds for the GFA Family Conference, and some of you were over on campus for the opening evangelistic services at BJU, and some of us, a few of us, were here, so it is good to be back together. And I don't know about you, but starting off the week with a holiday, it kind of speeds things. It's already Wednesday night, speeds things along. Your occupation may have meant that you were laboring on Labor Day, just like any other weekday. It's a good start to the week. I trust that you are encouraged in the Lord and that our time together in His Word tonight really will strengthen us as we look to Him. If you'd open your Bible again this evening to Galatians chapter 5, we have been attempting as a congregation to commit to memory the latter portion of this chapter, Galatians 5, which speaks to us of the fruit of the Spirit, fruit that is born as we yield ourselves to the Spirit, as we walk by the Spirit. So Pastor Minnick put in front of us at the beginning of the year the opportunity to commit this to memory, and we've been chipping away at that throughout the year. We're going to do what we did last week, and that is review verses 16 through 23, so 8 verses. And then we'll say those last two verses in that set, verses 22 and 23, a second time as it relates to our consideration of God's Word. Galatians 5, 16, we'll say this together. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Very, very good. Let's say those last two verses one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Very good. I think just the repetition of those fruit of the Spirit. If you're a believer, there's something very compelling about that. As far short as we may fall, there is something sweet even in the thought of these fruit, of God's will for our lives, and really of our rededicating ourselves to pursue this, to walk in the Spirit. Well, last week we began with the question of what does a truly Christian life look like? How does it evidence itself day in and day out? How would we know if we personally and our church collectively truly are exemplifying the life of our Savior, of our head, the head of the church, Christ Jesus? Well, of course, really our entire Bible in various ways answers that question in a complementary fashion, but complementary, in other words, not to us, but in a way that complements itself. But we're looking particularly at this passage, the fruit of the Spirit, and most specifically at the fourth in this list of fruit. The word translated here in our New American Standard Bible, patience, in the King James Version, long-suffering. And we looked at a few references last week. We're going to look at a few more tonight, Lord willing. And we're waiting for four adjectives. We covered two last week. We'll review those briefly, and we'll look at least a third. We'll see if we get to the fourth tonight. So we're kind of summarizing our point at the end with these adjectives. We began last week by trying to take very seriously Scripture's direction that patience is a basic Christian responsibility. I'll just remind us of one verse. We looked at this last week briefly. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Be patient with them all." So you could use words like essential, important, but to get across the idea that this really is commanded, and there is no wiggle room, and that entails us all, we use the word, the adjective, non-negotiable. Patience, first of all, is non-negotiable. That's how important it is. And then we move next to try to understand not only the importance of this truth, this virtue, but secondly, a description of it, the requirement of it. And to do that, we look not only at the word translated here, patient, but also its antonym, the opposite of it. And the elements of this word, translated patience, really do point to the opposite. They're in stark contrast with one another. And I'll review that word. Again, we didn't do this just so we could say we learned some Greek, but to make a point to help us picture what this word is. It's composed of two parts. Okay, the second part, thumia, is almost an identical word to the word translated outbursts of anger here in our passage. Wrath, kind of the fire-breathing dragon, fuming, fireworks going off. The first part of this word is a word that we use maybe in a different sense, but it's the word macro, which conveys the idea of something large or long. So patience is long of anger. It's having a long fuse. It's being long suffering. We have these words that we often use in English, they're useful words, but they can at times be somewhat euphemistic. Words like frustration, irritation, annoyance, even impatience. To varying degrees, all of those are forms of anger. And patience is the opposite of that. And patience, as we considered, isn't just an emotional outburst. It's not just a propensity that some people have because they're Irish or because they grew up in a certain situation. Certainly conditions like that can contribute. But patience isn't merely an emotion. It has to do with thinking that there's a value judgment, a negative value judgment being made. This I perceive is wrong. And it's not only a value judgment, but there is a significance to this. This is significant enough that it's not just I think that's wrong, but I'm displeased about this. I care enough about this perceived wrong to be displeased. And anger really has a third element that displeasure culminates in an outburst of something we say or do. It really brings together the whole body, the thinking, the feeling, the acting. It may just be a curt word, but those three components are working very quickly and decisively. It's something we care about so much that we're displeased about it to the point that we're willing to say something or do something. So if patience is the contrast to that, then patience, we use the simple word, patience is secondly thoughtful. It takes time to think spiritually about the situation. Am I really right in how I'm thinking about this? Is my perception of the significance of this really calibrated correctly? Should I really be displeased? Should I really care enough that much about this? And is it wise that I really say or do something right now about this? Now, impatience, frustration, anger, it just kind of blurts out. So it really is going to take stepping back and thinking biblically about this in order to counteract. We mentioned very briefly toward the end of the time this statement by William Gurnall in the Christian Incomplete Armor, where he says, patience is that grace which digests all things and turns them into good nourishment. Some of you parents, when your children were younger, or maybe right now, you're requiring them to chew so many times before they swallow. Chew that up. Let the enzymes get to work. Break it down. This is for nourishment. But that takes time. That takes thought. This week I was reading in a book by John Flavel. We recognize that name usually because of his rightly important work, significant work, The Mystery of Providence. One of his other short works is often referred to as Keeping the Heart because it's an exposition of Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And in that, in 1667, he writes this. He's talking about how to keep your heart in certain situations, and one of the situations that he discusses is a situation where we're provoked to anger. He says, other sins other than anger, grow to their full strength by degrees. Their first motions are the weakest. Let's pause. So think of something like lust, or pride, or covetousness. What he's saying is most sins start kind of on a low level, and then they pick up speed. They grow in their strength the longer that you contemplate them, the longer that you let them lie there without trying to mortify them. But, Flavel goes on, this sin, anger, is born in its full strength. It's a man-child right at the beginning. He didn't say man-child. Those are my words. It's a man-child right at the beginning. It's born in its full strength. It's strongest at first. Withstand it then, and it falls before you. So really, those opening moments are the key moments, because that's when it's strongest, unlike many other sins. That's why Proverbs 16:32, you want a picture of patience? Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. You want to be strong in the Lord? Be slow to anger. Rule your spirit. After the message last week, one of our dear folks in the congregation sent me a note and said that they had come across something on the internet and shared it with me. I smiled when I got it because I could relate. The saying had to do with patience and how it's like a used gift card. Have you ever had this experience? You received a gift card, you used it once, and you don't really remember how much balance is left on it. And so you want to use the gift card, but you're not sure how far it's going to go, so you sort of make an attempt at it. And then the point was, I want to be patient with other people, but it's like a used gift card. I'm not sure how far it's going to go. Well, I think most all of us can relate to that. And if we ended our consideration of patience, maybe many of us would be feeling like that. It's non-negotiable. And it requires a spiritual thoughtfulness. But that isn't all that our Bibles say about patience. So let's consider, thirdly, then, its nature. And we'll start with this passage right here in Galatians 5. Let's just call to mind the very simple truth that we've already quoted or read twice tonight. Verse 22 of Galatians 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is patience." But the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Think about this. Ephesians 4:30 tells us not to grieve the Spirit. One of the ways, the next verse, verse 31, tells us that we grieve the Spirit is through wrath and anger. Thumoi, that outburst, that anger, the opposite of this fruit, that grieves the Spirit. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. If you're in Galatians 5, would you turn a few more pages to Colossians 3? Notice verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This fruit of patience is nestled among other fruits, like kindness, like humility. If we only thought about patience in terms of its being non-negotiable, we have to be patient. And it requiring a thoughtfulness, and here's how we go about this. Ruling our spirit. We might come away with the impression that this is merely some sort of internal grip yourself, grimace, hold on for dear life. I'll burst if I, but I'm not going to mentality. But that's not what our Bible is teaching. This is a fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it's something that will not be born in our lives except by prayer. If you'll turn back a page, even if you have to, if you even have to do that, to Colossians 1. Look at verse 11. Paul is praying. He's telling the Colossians what he's praying for them. He's praying that they would be filled with all spiritual wisdom and knowledge, so they'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. They'll please Him in all respects. And one of the ways that they would please the Lord, that we would please the Lord, is this. Look at verse 11. That they would be strengthened with all power. God would strengthen them with His power according to His glorious might toward this end, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. This fruit comes from God's strength. The nature of it is spiritual. Patience is not something that we can produce on our own. And think of this. You may want to turn back to Galatians 5. Think of how this fruit, patience, actually relates to other fruit. All right, maybe think of your favorite fruit. I don't know what my favorite fruit is, but I like kiwi, so I'm going to use kiwi. All right, so you've got kiwi. Clearly, that's fruit. But now we're gonna cut it open, and we're gonna see more of that fruit. And it's hard to actually picture this with real fruit. We're gonna see how that fruit actually connects to and interrelates with other fruit. What do I mean by that? Well, think of, well, we won't take the time to turn to it, but think of the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. And think of the first of, I think, 16 descriptions of love. They're not always translated as verbs, but this is a verb. Love is patient. The King James Bible says love suffers long. It translates as a verb. It is a verb. Love suffers long. Love shows patience. Now think of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Love is patient. Love suffers long. In other words, when you connect these two references, what you come to realize is that the fourth fruitful evidence of the Spirit's control in our lives is a primary way to display the first fruitful evidence. Patience is a primary way to show love. You could say it like this. Patience is a first fruit of the first fruit of the Spirit. We cannot rightly bear the fruit of love without patience being born in it and along with it. Maybe if you can picture a balloon. And as you blow up that balloon, Okay, the material becomes really tight. It becomes sensitive. It's easily popped. If you rub your hands over it, it makes these really squeaky, unappealing noises. It expands out and it pushes, if it's in proximity to other things, it pushes out against other things. All right, there's our picture. Now listen to these words from Flavel. He says, when we overrate ourselves, then we think we are unworthily treated by others, and that provokes. When we overrate ourselves, then we think we are unworthily treated by others, and that provokes. We've considered how anger has this value judgment, which, by the way, we talked about this last week briefly. There is such a thing as righteous anger, and righteous anger makes a right value judgment. But sinful anger makes a wrong value judgment. It has this displeasure. It's incited to action. But there's actually something that's pumping air into all of that. There's something underneath that. There's something that is actually making all of that even more sensitive and susceptible, and that is our overrating ourselves. Simply put, it's our pride. It's our selfishness. And that's significant because of the context here in Galatians 5. Because the fruit of the Spirit is in a context where it's not just pointing out, here are good things to develop so you live an individualistically good life. Yes, if you're a patient person, that probably has good effects on your health. We've got some doctors here and other medical personnel. They could verify that after the service. There are good personal benefits to being patient. But what Scripture is teaching us about patience is not just that it will do us personal good. It will be better for us. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit that's emerging in a context that has to do with how we use our Christian freedom. Exercising our Christian freedom, not in a way that is flaunting, not in a way that is selfish or fleshly, but in a way that actually does other people good. Love is patient. We're exercising freedom for the good of others. We should think of patience not simply as a personal trait that helps us manage life better, but we could picture it like this, as a divinely resourced reservoir. Patience is like this big reservoir of fresh water that we can draw from to serve other people. How far is our love for and service to other people going to go without patience? Because they're sinners too. Patience has an innately interpersonal dimension to it. Yes, it does have to do with my internal being. But it isn't just for my internal good. It is a fruit of the Spirit for the good of my brothers and sisters in Christ and lost people as well. So patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a first fruit of the first fruit of the Spirit. There's a third component of this. And that would be that it is a first fruit of love. It's a fruit of the Spirit that grows in certain conditions. Right? Vegetables, fruit, they grow in certain conditions. There's the matter of climate. and moisture and sunlight and soil. Now, what kind of conditions does patience grow in? Well, it might seem a little counterintuitive at first. We think of growing in ideal conditions. To grow, the soil's got to be just right. The angle from the sun, it's got to be good. We've got to have the right amount of rainfall at the right time. But it's interesting what the Bible teaches us. God's word says patience is going to grow under these kind of conditions. Like in 2 Corinthians 6:6, Paul is talking about his and his missionary team's faith-filled efforts to commend their ministry as servants of God. And then he starts to relate the conditions of that service amid afflictions and hardships and distresses and beatings and imprisonments and sleeplessness and hunger in patience. The point is not that you have to be imprisoned or go hungry to grow in patience. The point is that patience grows in the condition of pressure. The fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit will emerge under pressure. And secondly, it will emerge over time. This is a slow-growing fruit. It's the irony. Anger bursts out with hardly a moment's notice. Patience takes the long road and emerges perhaps after everyone stops noticing. That's how the Lord's patience is toward us. The Lord doesn't have to grow in patience, of course. But he says through the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:15, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Regard the patience of God as salvation. He says a few verses earlier that the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He says in the verse before that, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. See, the Lord displays patience over time. Time is going to be a necessary condition in which our patience, the fruit of the Spirit, grows. Under pressure, over time, and often in not only adverse, but even provocative circumstances. Paul says of his fellow Jews in Romans 2:4, don't you know that it is the goodness of the Lord that brings you to repentance? The purpose of God's goodness, the purpose of his patience toward you, is to bring you to repentance? These people provoked the Lord over and over. They rebelled against him. The Lord, in those conditions, the rebellion of his people, he demonstrated patience and has for thousands of years. What this means is that to bear this fruit, we will have to experience pressure. It will take time. We will probably face provoking adversity. Now, that doesn't seem like very happy news, but the reality is that God, by his Spirit, has a master plan to make us like Christ. And Christ bore these fruit. And in order to produce this fruit, the Lord in His wisdom knows it's going to take these conditions. And so when we face adversity, when things are taking a long time, when we're provoked, when we're under pressure, one of the things we need to call to mind is the fact that the Lord is graciously at work to produce the fruit of patience in our lives. It's His gracious way of doing so. And to connect to these points, these situations of pressure, of duration of time, of provoking circumstances and adversity often have to do with people. Now, they may have to do with people directly. People may be the difficulty, or indirectly, in that they're alongside us, they're around us, they happen to cross our path in the midst of this. But again, remember, the Lord is graciously working so that there is a reservoir of patience amidst these challenges for us to minister to other people, because patience is good for us. It is right for us. It's a fruit in us by the Holy Spirit. But it's God's way of actually showing grace also to other people. If you have a congregation of hundreds of people, and at different stages, in different ways, certainly compensating for different moments that we all have, all of us are seeing the Lord develop His grace in us so that there is a growing reservoir to suffer long with one another. Now, what kind of good could come of that? What kind of edification, what kind of growth, what kind of love, what kind of recovery of ministry to one another? And so, very simply, patience is not only non-negotiable and thoughtful. Patience, thirdly, it is spiritual. That is its nature. The Lord isn't expecting us just to try harder. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is coming in the midst of a passage that we're memorizing that starts with what words? But I say, walk by the Spirit. We will not be able to muster up patience apart from drawing life from the vine. The Lord Jesus endured. Endurance is closely related to patience, though it's not the same word. But the Lord Jesus endured far more than we ever will have to, and He endured it all the way to the point of death on a cross in obedience to His Father. And in Him we have died, and in Him we've been raised to newness of life. That is our hope. Now, I said last week that at the end that we really hadn't gotten to the best part of this, and actually that is still the case. There is a fourth point, and I think it's the best one, the most encouraging one, but we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait on that for a couple of weeks. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness and Your patience toward us. Lord, we know that among us there are various trials and temptations, constraining and difficult circumstances. And we ask that not only for ourselves, but for our dear brothers and sisters this week, that You would enable us to really give our hearts to your work by your Spirit in us to develop this fruit of patience for your glory and others' good. And Lord, we will give you thanks. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.